Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. I think the first thing to talk about here is that in the very rapidly evolving landscape of LLMs, Google and OpenAI have, of course, emerged as the main two titans here. I mean, we have people like Microsoft that obviously play heavily in this field, but right now they're outsourcing a lot of that to OpenAI. So, at the end of the day, it's kind of Google and OpenAI. There's a couple others. These are the two big ones. But each of them have their own kind of distinct advantages and strategies. So a few years ago, Google released the MENA model, which temporarily was, you know, the winner of the world's best language model. So that was back when we were comparing it with OpenAI's GPT-2. So MENA actually had 1.7 times greater model capacity, and it was trained on 8.5 times more data back then. And this is actually pre-COVID. So Google engineer Noam Schajzer, he had, a prophetic internal memo that said, quote, MENA eats the world. And it kind of highlighted the increasing integration of language models into daily life and also kind of their dominance in globally deployed FLOPS, which is floating point operations per second. Anyways, Schajzer's insights, which were pretty, I'd say they're largely overlooked at the time. I think they were very big to the world's kind of later realization upon, you know, the release of OpenAI's ChatGPT. That's when all of a sudden people were like looking back and saying, oh dang, he probably was onto something. So I would say Google's moment in the sun was brief, because just a few months later, OpenAI unveiled GPT-3, which was then kind of passing MENA with more than 75 times the parameters, and then it had, or 65 times the parameters. I think it had 60 times the token count, and it had 4,000 times more FLOPS. So I think the gap in performance between the two models was very monumental. And despite the apparent setback, I think Google is far from being counted out, right? We've seen them come out with Google Bard. They're obviously a contender in the field fighting here. But according to internal projections, Google's ongoing efforts, especially with its Gemini models, are set to outperform the total pre-training FLOPS of GPT-4 by 5x by the year's end. This is absolutely massive. So I think this path is also clear to exceed this by 20 times by the end of the following year. But then again, of course, OpenAI is going to have come out with something by then. So I wouldn't really count on, I wouldn't put too much speculation into, you know, what their latest things are going to do in a year's time. So this is all thanks to Google's really robust infrastructure build out. So the question remains, right, is whether Google's going to deploy these models publicly without compromising their creative abilities or their existing business model. But I think, you know, it's not just about Google and OpenAI. I think the broader landscape reveals a very significant divide between the GPU rich and the GPU poor. So essentially, these are factions in the machine learning world. The former group, including labs at OpenAI, Google, and other tech giants like Meta, have essentially access to substantial computing resources. This is like, in the case of Google, this is something they built up over long term for a lot of their projects, and in the case of others, it's something that they maybe potentially recently acquired, right? But we're seeing a big pinch right now with GPU shortages from NVIDIA. We're seeing NVIDIA go to all-time highs, passing a $1 trillion valuation. And so it's kind of this moment where if you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. You got to try to build it up. I mean, even Elon Musk at this point, I think, has just bought and is about to put online like $250 million worth of GPUs from NVIDIA to help training, I think they're A100s, if I'm not mistaken. But like, it's kind of hard to compete with that, right? $250 million a company like Tesla can do, but definitely not for everyone. So I think this kind of computational muscle has even become a bragging point among a lot of top machine learning researchers, and even a recruiting strategy for companies. So on the other hand, the GPU poor, you could call them, is essentially compromising startups and open source researchers. And these people are grappling with essentially limited resources, right? They're often kind of squandering valuable time on impractical projects. And I think that these constraints significantly limit their ability to compete in a landscape that is rapidly scaling up. So in the midst of all of this, NVIDIA, with its really extensive offering in cloud services and supercomputers, has become a very critical player. Effectively, it's just eating the lunch of more resource-constrained companies like Hugging Faces, Databricks, and Together. And these firms are hard-pressed to catch up to NVIDIA's pace, essentially lacking both the computational resources and the capital to substantially invest in the infrastructure. So it's kind of this two-edged sword, and NVIDIA is really pulling ahead. So essentially, many technology firms and startups are funneling capital into NVIDIA's bank account, setting up an industry dynamic where NVIDIA holds a significant power stake. So while NVIDIA's dominance appears, you know, relatively unshakable, Google, with its rich compute resources, could potentially be the industry's white knight. So Google's prowess isn't confined to its language model. It extends to its infrastructure, right? This is something that Google's been building up for a very long time for many of its different core competencies in its business. So particularly its AI optimizer tensor processing units, TPUs, like TPU v5, are also known as Viperfish. So Google's infrastructure efficiency could be its trump card in this whole situation, essentially allowing it to rapidly scale up operations. So therefore, while the spotlight often shifts between individual advancements in language models, I think the real game changer might be infrastructure. With Google's really relentless pace in building out its AI capabilities, I think it may very well reset the playing field, challenging not just OpenAI, but also potentially loosening NVIDIA's tight grip on the market, right? Because if Google can come out and essentially offer companies the ability to train models with much, much less compute, all of a sudden it diminishes the need for everyone to go out and buy hundreds of millions of dollars in NVIDIA chips, right? Essentially, we're able to just train it for that's a lot more efficient. And this really should be a positive to the economy. Like, this should be something everyone is supportive of, because it's great for the environment, it's great for energy consumption, it's great for a lot of different reasons to be able to be more efficient. And so it's going to be really interesting if Google is not only kind of stealing a little bit of thunder from NVIDIA with some of these TPUs, but also by using it, it's like internally, if they're able to essentially displace OpenAI by now creating bigger models, better models that were trained more efficiently. And it's just something that OpenAI would have to spend extremely heavy to try to catch up. So very interesting space. Google may have one last trump card up its sleeve, and that is what we're going to be following into the future. If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.